Our reading for today is from Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 57. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 57. Now the time for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all his neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Remember that Zechariah hasn't spoken since the angel came to him to tell him that he was going to have a child, and because of his unbelief, he was struck mute. And so all of that time, not only has he not been able to speak, but you see that everyone has gotten used to him not being able to speak, for they were signing to him, they're trying to implore him to speak up in terms of naming this child, and he had to write on a tablet. Now that he has seen the fulfillment of that prophecy that was given to him before, he has these things to say. He begins to make this prophecy that we read about here in verses 68 through 79. And he is filled with the Spirit here, so he is inspired to write these things. But he makes this connection between what's happening now with John and then Jesus, who comes next, all the way back to the promise that God had made to redeem his people, to save them from their enemies, and to be delivered. He's pointing out in his prophecy that God was going to be faithful to those things which he had promised to his people long, long ago. And of course, he's talking about the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And he talks about John's role in this, that John is going to prepare the way of the people, prepare the way for the Lord regarding the people, teaching them to repent and go back to God, to be saved from the sins that they had committed. And so he rightly makes a connection with the deliverance from their enemies to be talking about spiritual deliverance instead of a physical deliverance. So already we're seeing that spiritual connection and spiritual purpose of the Messiah being proclaimed to us in the Gospels. Unlike what many people thought, that Jesus was going to be the Messiah in terms of delivering them from their enemies and making them a nation or a world power again, Zechariah is saying that no, we are going to have a spiritual deliverance. He's talking about that greatest need that all men have, that is to be saved from our sins, for the wages of sin truly is death. And so we need to recognize a couple of things in that regard. First is that we absolutely have a great need to be saved from those sins. And secondly, that the only way to be saved from those sins is to be in Christ, to be completely dedicated to him, to follow his ways, and to take advantage of the covenant that comes by the blood of Jesus. We need to be thankful. We need to proclaim that salvation to others. We need to praise God for that salvation. We need to be a lot like Zechariah here when he's saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." So here's our couple of things for us to think about and pray about today. First, in his book, Jacob Hudgens, for this particular reading, asks this question, "Do I think about sin as it being as big a deal as God thinks about it?" And I think that's an important question. Do we see sin the way God sees it? The temptation is that we just gloss things over. Well, that wasn't that big of a deal. Well, that wasn't that big of a sin. Well, what did it harm anybody? That's called rationalization. Rationalization is a way to deceive yourself. When we begin to rationalize our sins, we are deceiving ourselves that it's not really sin or that God wouldn't really condemn us for it. How big of a sin does it take for us to earn the wages of sin? That is death. We don't have anything that says, okay, here's the scale. When you commit this many small sins or this many medium sins or one of these big sins, then you're deserving of death. No, the wages of sin is death. That means any sin. We need to see sin the way that God does. That way we can desire to be holy as God desires for us to be holy, and we can then make the steps necessary in order to take advantage of the cleansing blood of Jesus and to stay walking in the light so that we can continually have his cleansing. So what should we pray for today? Well, you need to pray to be aware of sin, and you need to pray to have the desire to leave sin behind. You need to desire that you no longer walk in sin, but walk in the light. We need to keep the terrible nature of sin on the forefront of our minds, that we will be motivated to not sin and to seek out the will of the Lord, the way of the Lord, looking for those ways of escape and looking for righteousness to do in his name. Then we can praise him not only in word but in deed and cause others to praise him as well. Thank you for listening. Please come back tomorrow for another daily reading and devotional, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.